I'm going to give a little topical subject. And the subject that I will give today is maybe a controversial from the world's different churches' perspective, but it's very biblical if you take the Word of God. The topic that I will give today is, does God love everyone? That's the topic. Does God love everyone, every single person? So the first thing I want to tell you is, don't think according to don't go according to emotions here, but we got to trust by faith the Word of God. There was a man who went to a restaurant and ordered a half a pound hamburger, and the girl said, sorry sir, we don't have a half a pound hamburgers, but we have 8 ounces hamburgers. And the girl said, okay, go ahead, give me an 8 ounce. Now, what I'm trying to show is, half a pound is an 8 ounce. Okay? And this is where a lot of people, they get into one system, tradition, and they think only in that way. They have no idea, they don't open their eyes to the whole counsel of God. They don't see the whole counsel. They have tradition. This is what my church teaches. This is what my pastor has taught. And this is what everybody else believes. So even if 99% believes tradition, and if I say the Word of God says something else, I would not follow the 99%. I would follow just what the Word of God says. Even if I don't understand the whole counsel of God, so important that we need to go according to the Word of God. Everybody understand the whole concept of the Trinity? No, we don't. But it talks about the Trinity in the Bible. So that's why it's so important we should not go according to tradition. Now, if we tell the unbelievers God loves you, meaning God intimately loves all unbelievers, then why should the unbelievers have to repent? If God intimately loves them, why they have to repent? Doesn't make any sense. Repentance is not really needed because God loves them anyway. Right? So they say, well, God loves the sinners but hates the sin. How many of you heard that? God loves the sinners but hates the sin. Let me ask you a question. If God loves the sinners, why does God send sinners to hell? If God loves the sinners, then why does God send sinners to hell? So, when you say God loves the sinners but hates the sin, God still sends the sinners to hell. See, that doesn't make sense, right? Now you're saying, man, I have been taught this way. You know, because that's the way my church has been taught, telling me. That's tradition. See, the Bible says that God sends sinners to hell for eternity, because God punishes the sinners in hell. The God of the Bible is not going to compromise, because the God of the Bible is infinitely holy, and God is not going to wink at every sinner and give them bear hugs and says, I love you intimately. Now, so the point is, God does not love all mankind intimately, but God has a general love to all His creatures. As He's the one who gives the rain and sunshine to all, He's the creator of all mankind. Even we are told to love our enemies, right? So, but God's particular intimate love is only for the believers. There are many Christians, when witnessing to unbelievers, they say God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for you. And this is the most common teaching of the majority of the churches today, but this was not the common teaching of the historical church. There's not one scripture in the Bible to show that the apostles ever witnessed this way, saying God loves you. Then why is it that there are so many churches are saying to the unbelievers, God loves you? So we are going to expose this. And when somebody says God loves you and they say God has a wonderful plan for your life, it's very tempting to the flesh. As somebody said, when 9/11 happened, if somebody went a day before and told everybody in the Twin Towers, God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life, and the next day they're all screaming and dead, what kind of a plan was that? So here, that's why that message is not biblical. It's very good to emotions, to the flesh. And people, if you ask them, what does it mean by God has a wonderful plan for your life? You ask somebody, what does it mean to you? And they will say, well, that means to me, I will have good health, wealth, I'll have peace, I'll have a great job, and everything is going to go okay. That means that there's going to be all the pleasures, and the rest of the life is going to be very smooth. And God is going to bless you. Now, did Jesus tell his disciples, God has a wonderful plan for you, and follow me, and you will have all the wealth, prosperity, and the good health, peace, and joy for the rest of your life? Jesus said just the opposite. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to the Jews, Luke 9:23, Jesus said, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up the cross daily and follow me. That's just the opposite. So, dear friends, the false church is lying to the people. No wonder over 90% of the people who makes a decision for Christ falls away. Just imagine having crusades. Every year they're having crusades, even in Los Angeles. If all those people come forward in the churches and the crusades and everything, these people would be, LA would be like a paradise without any crime or anything like that. Right? But it's getting worse and worse because, see, that's why what we need to go according to what the scriptures say. According to Jesus, following him is not the broad, easy road which leads to hell. But to following him, we got to take the narrow gate that is agonizing to enter, difficult to enter. The true Christians have to go through a tough time in this world. Because the reason is, when you are not going to conform to the world doesn't like that. They will mock at you. They will make fun at you. And, you know, because you're not going to conform to the world. You're different. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Suffer persecution. And if you want to live a godly life, that means a godly life is a Christian life. Godly life is not a different life than a Christian. No, godly life is the Christian life. And if you want to live the Christian life, you will suffer persecution because you are not going to compromise with the world. But if you are going to compromise with the world, you will not suffer persecution. In that way, you are not a Christian, true Christian. Jesus never told his disciples God has a wonderful plan for you, but he told the truth. In this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of cheer, I have overcome the world. Just the opposite. Scripture says one thing, tradition, what you have heard is different. They are opposite. Many say God loves you because they say, well, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 says, they make the point and say God so loves the world, right? So God loves everyone, and they say God personally loves you. And I want you to accept Him. So they are kind of begging the unbeliever to accept God. We see a God who is frustrated, begging people to accept Him. And this is not the God of the Bible. And if you go to John chapter 3:16, let us expose John 3:16. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now this is a problem. The problem is, it says, God so loved the world. Alright? It says that, right? God so loves the world. Now, we need to see the scriptures in context here. Who is Jesus talking to here? Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a very highly renowned Jewish rabbi, Nicodemus was a teacher of the Jews. So Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. From a Jewish perspective, there are only two kinds of people. The Jews, that's God's special people, they call it, and the Gentiles. Where are the Gentiles? For the Jews, they are the ones who are in the church. And the Gentiles are all the unbelievers. Right? People who are in the world. The Jews are the ones in the church, and the rest are all Gentiles. Just like how Christians would say today, we are Christians out there, outside the church, they are of the world. That's how Nicodemus sees this. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, God so loved the world. Meaning, who are the world here is talking to the Gentiles. God so loved the Gentiles. Alright? That He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But whosoever believeth in Him. So whosoever believes in Him is a believer. Simple as that. Now, what Jesus is telling is to Nicodemus, God loves not only the Jewish believers, but also God loves the Gentile believers. Now, for us to understand a little better, let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 30. Luke chapter 12, verse 30. And Luke chapter 12, verse 30, Luke is writing, and Luke is a Gentile. He's not a Jew. Right? Now, from the perspective of a Gentile, he's not going to call himself as a Gentile. Right? Because Jew... Here, Luke is writing as a Gentile. So Luke chapter 12, verse 30 says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. So he doesn't say Gentile, he says nations of the world. That means other countries of the world seek after, right? And your father knows that you had need of these things. So Luke was a Gentile writing not from a Jewish mind, but from a Gentile mind. For the Gentile mind, it is the unbelievers are the nations of the world. Now Matthew was a Jew. Alright, Matthew talks the same scripture, and let's see how Matthew writes. Matthew 6:32, Matthew says, After all these things do the Gentiles seek. He doesn't say nations of the world. He talks Gentiles seek. So to Matthew, there are two peoples here. The Jews and the Gentiles. For Luke, there are two peoples here, Christians and the unbelievers. All right, Christians can be Jews and the people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the unbelievers. So let us see John 3:16. And also let's go to verse 17, because you cannot just take one scripture, you got to take the other one. John 3:17 says, God sent not his son into the world, again see the word world, right? God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Wow. So it says here God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now if you say God loves everyone, that means every single person, and the mission of Jesus is what? What is the mission of Jesus here? That he came to this world not to condemn the world, right? But through the world, but the world through him might be saved. So that's the mission of Jesus. So did the mission of Jesus fail because all people, is everybody saved today? Is every single person in the world saved? Huh? No. So if everybody is not saved, and Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, did his mission fail? Is it a failure, his mission? Because he couldn't save everybody. The Bible says he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him will be saved. So all people are not saved. That means, was his mission a failure? The answer is no. Then the next question is, did Jesus fail in his mission? As you know, he couldn't save everybody. So absolutely, that's not a failure. Then in John 3:16 and verse 17, he's talking again. Then Gentiles believers who would believe in Jesus. So that means when John 3:17 says that the world through him might be saved, who are the people in the world here talking? The people in the world in John 3:17 are the Gentile believers. So only the Gentiles believers will be saved. John 3:16 talks about the same thing. The world there are the Gentile believers. In that perspective, did Jesus' mission fail? No. It didn't fail, but it was successful, because all the believers are saved. See? Now, the Jewish mind, Jesus is speaking again, I had to make it very clear, to Nicodemus, who is a Jew. Now, the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come and deliver them from the bondage of the Roman Empire. And then, this is from the Jewish perspective, not only the Messiah is going to come and deliver them from the Roman Empire, bondage of the Roman Empire, but also the Messiah is going to punish the Gentile nations. That was the Jews believe. And Jesus is saying, oh, no, Nicodemus. That's not what the Messiah is going to do. Jesus is saying, Messiah's mission is not to bring punishment, but to save them. Not to save them from a physical kingdom, but to save them from their sins. That's why Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was the mission of the Messiah. He didn't come to deliver them from the Roman bondage and also to punish the Gentiles. No, he came to save them from their sins. Now, so the his people, who are his people when Matthew 1:21 says he shall save his people? you know, who are the Jesus, his people? Are they the Jews? Jesus was a Jew. Is he talking about the Jews? No, they didn't. Most of the Jews did not get saved. So his people are who? The true Christians. Now his people, that the even the Christians, before Jesus came to our life, we were lost too. Is, you know, we were lost. We were the children of disobedience too. In Matthew, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.